Amen indeed. Good morning, everybody. Thank you so much for unleashing that song that's in your heart. Thank you for doing that this morning. That's what God wants from us. And if you're visiting with us, if you are our honored guest this morning, this is a Singing Emphasis weekend with the Praise and Harmony Workshop, and we're so thankful that we've had Keith Lancaster with us this weekend to help us reinvigorate our love and our passion for worshiping our God. And thank you for being a part of this weekend. I want to tell you about one thing that's happening today. We've been celebrating today in our worship. Amen? We've been celebrating the God that we serve. And part of our celebration is when one of our own has completed his journey and has crossed over to the other side. As most of you know, our brother Charles Bryant made that voyage this past week. And today, it is our privilege and honor to gather together today. We invite you to be a part of this at Smith's Funeral Home from 1 to 2. The family will be receiving friends. And then the funeral will be at 2 o'clock at Smith's. We're going to be trying to provide comfort for the family, for Tom and Angie and all the family. And then also celebrating the fact that our brother Tom has gone home. And he has preceded us in that journey. But that's where we're headed to. And that's why we sing. We sing because of the hope that we have. Because we know where we're headed. Isn't that right? We know where we're going. And it's not because of anything we've done. It's because of what Jesus has done for us. You know something? And most of you know this, I was almost 30 years old when Michelle and I met and we married. And so I was a little bit late to having kiddos, and so I didn't really know what to expect, although I came from a family of four children. I didn't know what to expect having kids, and many of you, watched, I'm sure, laughing under your breath as you saw me stumbling through, and probably still are, by the way, laughing as you see me stumbling through figuring out this thing that is parenthood. But I'll tell you, one of the things that I've seen about the joys of being a parent, there's a lot of things that bring you great joy. Your heart just beams. You know, my son Ryder's playing T-ball, and when I see him hit that ball and it's into the outfield, man, your heart just beams. There's lots of different things that you see your kids do, but there's one thing that makes my heart beam more than anything else, and that's when I see my kids sing. When I see my children sing, and my children love to sing. And it gives me such joy whenever, I remember a few months ago when Herb introduced one of these songs that my kids had been listening to for months and months, in fact, even years, on some of these Praise and Harmony CDs, and Herb introduced it in a worship service, and I look down the aisle, and I see both my children singing to the top of their voice. And I just lost it in tears because of the joy of seeing your children sing. I want you to know we serve a Heavenly Father. And we are His children. And nothing gives our Father more joy than for His children to sing. That's what God wants from us. He wants us to sing to Him. We're going to look at a passage. I got several verses real quickly this morning. I just want to impress on you. And the first of those is Psalm 66, verses 1 and 2, that says, "Shout for joy to God, all the earth. Sing to the glory of His name. Make His praise glorious." What does it mean if something is glorious? It means it has weight. It means that there's something beautiful and powerful about it. And God says, "I want you to bring me praise that is glorious." I was reading this week and one author said this, "What is glorious praise? Glory has the connotations of weightiness, dignity, magnificence, and beauty. Glorious worship is exuberant, never half-hearted. It is attractive, not off-putting. It is awesome, never sentimental. It is brilliant, not careless. It points to God and not to the speakers." You see, if we serve a glorious God, the object of our worship is a glorious God, then should not our worship match that? Should we not provide and present to God glorious praise that is worthy of His glorious name? Well, What is glorious praise? What does it look like? Real quickly, number one, glorious praise is rich praise. You know, for years we have emphasized the importance of us all lifting our voices in praise to God. We have a tremendous commitment and conviction in this church, and it will remain, of congregational singing, that we all join together and we lift up our voices in a cappella praise to God. And the reason that we have that commitment is because, you know, there's some verses that we've emphasized for years toward this, but I want you to think about them in a little different way this morning. The first is Colossians 3 and verse 16. Listen to this. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly, as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms and hymns and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. You see, it is one thing to have the message of Christ in your mind. It is another thing entirely to have the message of Christ in your heart. And this verse says we need to go beyond just learning knowledge and facts about the message of Christ. We need to go beyond just having it in our minds. We need to let the message of Christ dwell in us richly. And he tells us in this verse how that's done. It is done by putting the message of Christ to song. Because it moves our hearts. It moves our emotions. It moves our whole spirits and being. As we praise God, it dwells in us richly. So glorious praise is rich praise. But then secondly, glorious praise is affectionate praise. In Ephesians 5, last part of verse 18, it tells us we need to be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart. With your heart. Now, it is vitally important that the message that we sing be a message that is true to God's Word. But I want to say to you that it's not enough to just have an accurate message in our worship. Paired with an accurate message needs to be an affectionate melody. You see, I was struck by this several years ago of how that God didn't say in Ephesians 5, 18 and 19, I just want you to bring to me messages and just like say robotically, we praise you, O God. I mean, we sometimes say those things, but here he says, I want you to go beyond just the message and take the message and pair it with a melody. And so what's important is not just the message, the words that we say. That is vital and that's important. But pair with it, God says, I want you to bring me a melody to the Lord from your heart. He wants you to feel it and to bring it from your heart. So what is glorious praise? Glorious praise is affectionate praise. But then thirdly, glorious praise is joyful praise. I've got to read this to you. This is from Hebrews chapter 12. I'm going to begin back at verse 18. Now, this is a vivid picture that the Hebrew writer is painting. And the reason he paints this picture is the theme of the book of Hebrews is Jesus is better. He is a better priest. He's better than the angels. He is all that you need. He brings a better covenant than the old covenant. And then the Hebrew writer paints this picture by drawing our mind's eye to look at, and I want you to look this morning in your mind, at two different mountains. Mountain number one, verse 18. You have not come to a mountain that can be touched and that is burning with fire, to darkness, gloom, and storm, to a trumpet blast, or to such a voice speaking words that those who heard it begged that no further word be spoken to them, because they could not bear what was commanded. If even an animal touched the mountain, it must be stoned to death. The sight was so terrifying that Moses said, I am trembling with fear. Listen to the Hebrew writer. He says, you don't come as Christians to that mountain. You don't come to a mountain of fear. You don't come to Mount Sinai. But instead, because of Jesus, we can draw near to Him. Verse 22, but you have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. You have come to thousands upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly. Now, you're going to notice that phrase there, joyful assembly. From the King James Version, it says the general assembly, and it's located probably in the next verse. But I did some deep study this week in this and found that this particular word translated in the King James general assembly, or in the NIV, joyful assembly, is a Greek word that's only found one time in the entire New Testament. And I did some digging from Greek scholars to find out what does this word mean? Why does the Hebrew writer use it? And the word literally means a joyful gathering in order to celebrate a festival. Now, what's he saying? He's saying, you have not come like the Israelites did, cowering in fear and trembling in fear to a mountain of fire like Mount Sinai. No, because of Jesus, you have come to Mount Zion. And on Mount Zion, guess who we joined? Who we joined this morning? When we come together to worship, we have joined the chorus of angels who are assembling around the throne of God in joyful assembly, in a celebration of festivity and festival, in praise to a God who is beautiful and majestic and worthy of all creation, saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. You have come to that mountain. So glorious praise, my friends, is joyful praise. It is the praise that angels sing. And you've joined that chorus this morning. Shout to the Lord with joy, all the earth. Make His praise glorious. Nothing gives our Father more joy than to hear His children sing. This morning, if you're not yet a part of that chorus of the joyful assembly of the church of the firstborn, you need to be born again into Jesus Christ. And we invite you to make that decision and join that angelic heavenly chorus of the gathering of the saved worldwide who are headed to that better place over there. Won't you come and respond to Jesus this morning in repentance and in baptism? Receive the gift of the Holy Spirit and the forgiveness of your sins. If you need prayers of encouragement, our shepherds are available for private prayer in the library or down front. If we can help you in any way, let's sing together a song of praise, and we invite you to come to Jesus.